Well, hello and welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining me today on another episode of the Voices of Courage show. Today, we're calling the show The Courage to Gain Without Pain. Hi, this is Ken D. Foster, your host. And quite frankly, I'm glad you joined me today. This episode is going to explain to you and help you understand why there's struggle, there's stress, there's challenges and issues and all, you know, in your life, and why those issues are chronic and what you can do to actually transition those issues into really success, joy, a little happiness, a little power, a little passion, all of that. That's what this episode's going to do. You know, some of you in this category that are feeling stressed and disempowered, you're listening, you just heard the opening and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to listen to this show. But for you, I want to tell you, please stop. Listen to this show. This show is going to help you to really take your life to a new level. That's what my shows are all about. Wait till you listen to the guests that are on this show today. You will have life-changing moments on this show. I can almost guarantee it. If you will be present, if you will tune in, and if you will allow yourself to open your mind, open your heart, to be receptive to what's going to happen in the show. So when I come back, I got to take a quick break. I got sponsors to pay, right? But when I come back, what we're going to do, we're going to talk deeply about those areas that you can use right now. Some beliefs. I'm going to give you some new beliefs you can instill in your mind right now that will actually change your life for the better today. How cool is that? All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Well, welcome back to the show, The Courage to Gain Without Pain. I got to tell you a great story that happened to me last night. A friend of mine connected me with a fellow by the name of Doug Plank. And if you don't know who Doug is, he's the superstar from the Chicago Bears. And I got to be with him for 4 hours. It was upfront. It was personal. And he just talked to me, not so much about well, he talked to me a lot about his life, but he also gave me some real keys and insights into the mind of this man who, quite frankly, is an absolute brilliant star of the game of football. And it was a dream connection for me. I've always wanted to really take a deep dive into the mind of an NFL player to see what I came up with. So Doug, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He was a star in high school where he set school record in baseball, hitting an average of 526. That record lasted for 30 years. He then played football at Ohio State University, winning Big Ten titles and participating in three consecutive Rose Bowls under the legendary coach of Woody Hayes. Then he was drafted in the 12th round by the Chicago Bears. And he went on to eventually he played for 9 years for the Bears. Then he went on to coach the Atlanta Falcons with the National Football League, Arena Football, and the New York Jets. And why am I telling you his background? Because I want you to get how amazing this man is. And I want to tell you also four of the most important points that he made during that conversation tonight or last night. But before I do, I want you to really think about letting this sink in. You know, beliefs saturated with faith, conviction, and power are highly saturated bombs in our consciousness. Beliefs matter because they shatter the rocks of difficulties. I wanted to say that to you because what's going on with what I'm going to tell you right now are some of his beliefs that I'm taking on. Well, I've taken on a few of them over time anyway, but I want you to get them so that you can actually infuse your mind with a few of these beliefs. You don't like them, throw them out. It's no big deal. But here's a couple of the beliefs that Doug had during this conversation that I thought was really good. Some of this you've heard before, but I encourage you to listen to it with kind of a beginner's mind, like you've never heard it before, and let it set. Tune into it. So number one, okay, we've all heard work hard and sacrifice. We know that. But here's the piece that I love. Have no regrets for not trying those things that are bigger than you can imagine. Have no regrets for not trying the great big things in your life. So in other words, if you're living a mediocre life, you're just getting by, you're kind of skating through life, and you're not really pushing yourself to try the big things in life that you've never done, now's the time to do it. Think about that. The second belief was expect what you want to have in your life. I just love that. You know, a friend of mine, Joe, who I've talked about in the show before, Joe and I met when I was in my, I was in my early, late 30s. And Joe at that time had written out his whole life plan and exactly what he was going to do for his life. We became friends, and I asked him when he was his 60s, how many of his life goals, they were big goals, did he accomplish? And he said he's accomplished about three quarters of them. And then I talked to him in his 70s, and he said, you know what, I've accomplished all of them. He traveled around the world. He'd become wealthy. He'd married the woman of his dreams. He'd had children. He'd driven the cars that he wanted. He's taken the vacations he'd wanted. He'd connected deeply with on the spiritual path. He'd done it all. But, you know, it was about expecting what you want to have in your life. And then the third belief that Doug Plank gave me was have no half-go days. Have no half-go days. He learned that early on when he was injured in college, where he was playing mediocre football. Somebody came up and took him out, took out his knees. He said, "Man, that is never going to happen to me." So he played every day, whether it was a practice day or a game day, that there was no half-go days. He was going full out all the time. How many of us are doing that? I love that belief. And the last one I wanted to give you is act like this is your last day. He lives his life that this is the last day on earth every single day. I love that. That's the way we have to live our life if we're going to really have a life that is filled with courage and truth and wisdom and compassion. We live it and we step into those great goals that we have, whatever they are. You know, one of my great goals is doing a large TV show. I'm in the middle of that. I'm putting that together. I haven't even put it out on my show yet, but it's coming. You're going to see me on a large network show very soon. So what's your great dream? What are you going to do that's going to take your life to the next level? I want you to think about that, because I think if you do, what's going to happen for you is that you're going to start to think, you know what? Maybe I can do greater things than I've ever done before. I hope this is inspiring to you. So let me recap those beliefs, right? Have no regrets for not having tried those things that are bigger than you can imagine. Number two, expect what you want to have in your life. Number three, have no half-go days. And number four, act like this is your last day. Doug Plank, thank you for those beliefs. I really appreciate it. And I know that Doug's going to be on my show shortly. So, you know, look for that episode coming up soon. All right, I'm going to take a break. And when I get back, do I have the guest for you? I have Dr. Greg Hammer. He's an author of a book that's out there, a new book, which is what I named the show after. And it's Gain Without Pain. Imagine being able to do that. We'll be right back. All righty.
about to make a difference? Do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
I've written a new book. It's called The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Wisdom to Unlock Your Genius, Your Soul, and to Transform Your Life. So it's daily strategies. I wrote this specifically because over the years I've noticed in my own life and in the lives of my clients that, listen, a little inspiration doesn't get it. A little wisdom doesn't get it. A little action doesn't get it. It's daily, dripping on the mind, dripping on those actions, taking specific focused actions towards your dreams and setting specific goals, right? Goals help us to transform the little self into the possibilities that we have in each of us. All of us are given dreams. And if you're sitting there and you're not manifesting that dream, just a little bit of you is chipping away every day that's not happening until you finally wake up and say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to connect with something greater than myself, my force, my God, my life, my universe, whatever. I don't care what you call it. You tune into that force and that's what's going to get you to the next level.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm so happy to have Dr. Greg Hammer as our guest today. Dr. Hammer is a pediatric intensive care physician, a pediatric anesthesiologist, and professor at Stanford University Medical Center. He's a member of the Stanford Wellness MD Initiative and the Wellness Committee for the American Society of Anesthesiologists. Dr. Hammer is currently the chair of the Physician Wellness Task Force for the California Society of Anesthesiologists. He has been a visiting professor and lecturer on wellness at institutions worldwide and teaches GAIN to medical students, residents, and fellows at Stanford. Greg Hammer, welcome to the show. It is so nice to see you and have you, man.
Thank you, Ken. It's great to be with you. Great meeting you and getting to know you a little bit before we went on the air.
Well, you know, you got the new book out and you're talking, talking about burnout and talking about issues that are affecting so many people right now. Let me just ask you, how did you get into that, you know, from what you were doing? How did, you know, were you in a burnout before you wrote the book or what happened there?
Well, I guess going back a bit, I've been a student of Advaita for many years, studying with a teacher and having my own wellness practice. I've always been a wellness enthusiast, meaning spiritually as well as exercise, fitness, nutrition, which is my undergraduate degree in nutritional science and is a big part of my intensive care practice. So after the Stanford WellMD program formed, I hopped on and was asked to give a lecture to a national group on burnout and wellness. And that just one thing led to another. And beside being invited to speak about my research, which is in developmental pharmacology and immunology, I was asked to speak about that. And so that kind of took a life of its own on, actually. And I began also teaching my medical students, residents, and fellows this GAIN meditation. And then I had some sabbatical time, and so I didn't want to leave anywhere. I love it where I live. I have a beautiful home on campus. I'm very fortunate and grateful. And also I have to keep my lab going. So I decided to stay home. And all the arrows were pointing in the direction of writing this book. So I did. And it was lots of fun. And I'm on to the next one now.
Well, I love that. And what I want to say is that, you know, there's a lot of people staying at home even today, you know, and there's burnout going on. I mean, there's moms dealing with stress with their children who are staying home and not they're not in school yet, at least in California and a lot of places. There's people that have lost their jobs. There's people that are just challenged, you know, and there's people that don't want to go back to the same job. They're just done with that, too. So what constitutes burnout, and why do you think it's rising right now in the world, at least in the United States?
Great question, Ken. I would very simply define burnout as stress that leads to emotional and physical fatigue and even exhaustion. There are lots of components to burnout, lots of ways to measure it, lots of ways to describe it. But I think simply stated, it's a chronic stress-induced state of fatigue and exhaustion, both physical and emotional.
And what would you say the impact is? You know, I mentioned a couple areas, but what do you think the impact is right now on working families and moms and, you know, in our society?
Well, another good question. I think that chronic stress is a pandemic in the best of times, because life is stressful. Life is full of pain and suffering as well as joy and happiness. And we tend to have a negativity bias as humans. And so we tend to focus on the negative, on the painful, on the suffering, and forget about the positive in many cases. And so the other thing about us, beside our negativity bias, is that we tend to be obsessed with the past and the future. And we can talk about that because happiness is in the present moment. And happiness, like the present moment, is always there. So why is it that we stress about the past and the future? And why do we have this negativity bias? I mean, those are big questions. But simply stated, I think there's a conflict going on within us that you're well familiar with, I know, Ken. And you know, we're diverted by what some call the ego or the separate self, sort of pushing us off the present moment pedestal, if you will, and into the past and future. And I would say briefly that there are adaptive and maladaptive ways of having thoughts about the past and future. Adaptive would be, for example, of the past, learning from our mistakes. I would consider that adaptive, and savoring our memories, our favorable memories. Beyond that, when we think about the past, we tend to have shame and regret. And likewise with the future, it's adaptive to plan, to put bread on the table, to have joyous times with our family and loved ones. But beyond that, when we think of the future, we tend to experience fear, we catastrophize, we think of the worst thing that may happen. And in my field of medicine, it's important to think about the worst thing that can happen so that we can prevent it. But in general, we don't really benefit by thinking of the worst, and this generates fear and anxiety. And I think those are chronic conditions for many people in the best of times. But you superimpose a pandemic where there's global pain and suffering, and I think even the happiest and most present of us, and you can speak to this, Ken, you know, we experience the pain and suffering that's going on all around the world. And so if we don't have a way of dealing with that, we're going to be experiencing stress and this leads to poor sleep. We're tired. We tend to fail to exercise and take care of ourselves when we're sleep deprived and when we're stressed. And so these things kind of feed into each other and lead to progressive fatigue and exhaustion.
Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. But when I come back, I want to take a deep dive in the book and, just talk about some of the ways that you mentioned gain a minute ago. And I like to talk about gain, you know, that's in the book, and we can talk about what that means and how people can tap deeper into their, I guess in the higher states of consciousness, for lack of a better word. But anyway, we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about some of those things.
Have you recently used your phone, computer, and Wi-Fi and wondered if they might be affecting your sleep, focus, or possibly even your well-being? Living Design Technology has investigated recent developments in how electromagnetic energy coming from a variety of sources, including cell phone, Wi-Fi, microwave, radio, and TV, are impacting people and their environment. They have developed simple, effective tools that support the harmonizing of the electromagnetic energies present in your home, office, and car. Living Design Technology works by providing the information nature needs to balance the electromagnetic energies in your environment. It's amazing. Nature is actually doing the work when Living Design Technology is present. Find out more at livingdesigntechnology.com/courage and put in the code courage to get 20% off your first order.
Well, welcome back to the show. I'm very blessed today to be interviewing Dr. Greg Hammer. And before I get back to our interview, I want to thank you, all of our fans out there for tuning in to Voices of Courage. I want to let you know that you can get all the replays at voicesofcourage.us. And if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you'll be able to not only see the shows, you won't miss a show. So I hope you'll go ahead and take advantage of that. All right, now back to my guest. The name of our show today is The Courage to Gain Without Pain. And Dr. Hammer is a health enthusiast. He's also a meditator, which drew me to you, Greg, utilizing non-duality and mindfulness-based approach, including the GAIN method, which we're going to talk about right now. He's also the author of Gain Without Pain, The Happiness Handbook for Healthcare Professionals, which is, I guess, coming out in May 15th. And I'm hoping we can find out how to get it soon. All right. Are you with me?
I sure am.
Okay. So let me just put the book up on the screen so people can see what we're talking about here. You got the new book out. Gain Without Pain. All right. What does that mean, Gain Without Pain?
Well, I use the acronym GAIN, again, going back a few steps. My students, residents, and fellows, when I ask them about their wellness, they say they don't have time to go to yoga class, driving there, taking the class, driving home, taking a shower, what have you. They don't have time to do other wellness activities, given that they're working so hard. So I thought, well, why don't I just come up with a 3-minute meditation that they can do every morning? And I think we can all set our alarms 3 minutes earlier than we might have otherwise and probably won't miss those 3 minutes of sleep, especially if we're doing something so restorative. So the idea is, get up in the morning, do your morning hygiene, and then find a comfortable place to sit in any position, of course. And so I taught them this method. And the GAIN method, basically, GAIN is an acronym for what I think are the four pillars of presence and happiness, and their gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. And so we can talk about those if you'd like, but quite simply, I think they're very intuitive. Gratitude is, I think, central to many faiths and many practices. Mm-hmm. You may be blind and happy or otherwise have a physical challenge and be happy, maybe poor certainly and happy, but you'll never see somebody who's happy and ungrateful. So I think that helps remind us that gratitude is really central to our happiness. Acceptance, as the Serenity Prayer would have it, let us discern between things we can change and things we cannot change, and have the wisdom to accept those things we cannot change. And I think there's a formula in my book, Ken, which is that suffering equals pain times resistance. And so we have a pain, inevitable part of life. But if we resist it, if we try not to think about it, or if we think about it in a way that we're trying to, feel sorry for ourselves, for example, that's a form of resistance. So the more we resist, the greater our suffering. Suffering equals pain times resistance. So acceptance is sort of the opposite of resistance. And if we learn to accept that which is painful, and that means sitting and actually, while we're in touch with our breath, generally with our eyes closed, we imagine that which is most painful and imagine opening our chest, opening our heart, and bringing that painful experience closer and closer until we merge with it, until it's really part of us, until we can ask ourselves the question, can I live with this pain forever? And the answer is yes. And so that's acceptance. And intention is simply using our purposefulness to rewire our brains. We talked a bit about our negativity bias, our obsession with the past and future. We can actually rewire our brains to be more present and more happy. And there's some great examples of that. And then finally, N is non-judgment. And we always categorize things. It's the first thing that our minds go to. This is good, that is bad. And what happens is we judge ourselves most harshly. And so we can easily, I think, rewire our brains to the knowledge that we don't have to label everything as good or bad. We can just see things exactly as they are. And, you know, Jon Kabat-Zinn, who I think is really the grandfather of mindfulness practice, defined mindfulness as, and I'm paraphrasing, being aware on purpose of the present moment without judgment. And so it's using our intention, i.e. doing things on purpose, as you mentioned in your opening, and not judging things, just seeing them the way they are. And the benefit of that really is that we can see ourselves exactly the way we are without judgment. So those are the gain elements.
I love that. And I think one of the other gains that you would have or that your clients would have is that they would probably be making better choices if they're not stressed out, is my guess. And they probably won't be more productive, and they would probably be able to be more laser focused in their studies or in their life, is my guess. Just doing this method that, you know, I've got a background in meditation, so I know a little bit about what I'm talking about here. What do you say to that? Is that accurate or?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, happiness is our true nature.
Yep.
And so happiness is always, like our breath, available to us. The thing that prevents us from being present and happy is our negativity bias, our obsession with the past and future. So we can learn to be present. And, you know, normally we burn a lot of energy judging everything around us, like this person is too much of this or too that, or compared to me, they're better looking or not as smart or what have you. You know, our minds are constantly churning and focused on the past and the future and judging. And this really wastes a lot of energy, of course. And plus, it's time that we're not being present. And so, yes, with presence practice, however that unfolds for the individual, we can be much more efficient, waste a lot less energy. And I think most importantly, all we want, all 7 billion of us, is to be happy. And if we can rewire the way we think to be more present, we can be happier and more productive, as you suggested.
I think so. Well, listen, I want to put the book on the screen, and I know it's going to block us a little bit, but let's tell people where they can get the book right now.
Well, the book actually came out in May of 2020. And
2020. Okay.
Yeah. No worries. I'm hoping the next one, which is actually oriented toward teenagers and those who deal with teenagers, parents and teachers, for example. But the book can be found on Amazon, and my website is GregHammerMD, just as on the screen at the bottom of the book, but without any spaces or punctuation, and lowercase is fine, GregHammerMD.com. So there'll be a lot of media there, including, I hope, access to this program in the future, and so they can get the book there or on Amazon.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on writing that book. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go to my next segment. I hope you'll stay on till the end of the show. I've got an additional question I want to ask you. And just thank you for being here, Greg. Thank you for putting that book in the world and making the world a better place. I'm looking forward to the one with the children, because I know children and moms are just really struggling in this time of change. So
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be with you. I'll certainly stick around. I'm looking forward to hearing what Peter has to say.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, I'll talk with your PR people, but I'd love to have you back on, too. This is
anytime, Dan. We'd love it.
Really, really good. Okay, thank you.
Today, women in business are helping each other prosper like never before by overcoming stereotypes, networking together, and sharing essential resources. Since 1991, Women's Wisdom, the premier business networking organization for purpose-driven, soul-inspired entrepreneurs, has helped women grow their businesses and become the best version of themselves. Women's Wisdom hosts online events with celebrity speakers, best-selling authors, and business experts dedicated to helping you, the small business owner, expand your possibilities, build new relationships, and get the right referrals. Take your business to the next level and join Women's Wisdom at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Kendi Foster, and I'm so excited to have Peter Littlejohn Cook on the show today. Peter's the director of the Grace Flow School of Meditation and Tantra, through which he provides support, mostly online these days, to yoga teachers, therapists, and coaches who have a spiritual awakening. Peter's superpower is helping people to bridge the spiritual and the material to experience embodied self-realization. He teaches short, simple meditation techniques and breathwork practices that can be integrated into each day until you feel blessed by that experience. Peter, it is so good to have you, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ken. A pleasure to be here.
Wow. You know, you're teaching. It's funny. I always wonder how these shows are all going to integrate together. And today you both have, you both teach meditation. You both have meditation practices, and yet you have very diverse backgrounds. Peter, you were kind of a rebel. I know reading your bio growing up and doing a little counterculture stuff. And how did you get on the path of meditation and teaching people how to become meditators?
Well, one version of that story goes all the way back to when my mother was pregnant. She began meditation when I was in gestation. So I think maybe my nervous system attuned to the experience as I was coming into incarnation, and that led me to feel that something wasn't quite right in the world. When I noticed there was some kind of disconnect between something I knew existed, but I couldn't name, I didn't know what it was exactly, but I knew when I looked around me, people didn't seem to be quite fully alive, quite fully present and in the fullness of their potential joy and self-realization. I began looking for what was out of sight, what was beyond the frontiers of what was known to see. I know there's something. And my mother was very connected with mystical wisdom. And I ended up finding my way partly through the books in my parents' bookshelves, and also through synchronicities, one after the other. When I realized I wanted to find a living teacher, very soon afterwards, when I felt the commitment, I need to find a living, enlightened teacher, a friend of mine, his father was a friend also, and he suddenly, out of the blue, said, "You should meet my guru." I didn't even know he had a guru, but he, out of the blue, just created this connection, and I ended up learning Kriya Yoga. And this is one of the interesting things that connects us as well, because I know you have this connection with Kriya Yoga. But that was the beginning, or one of the beginnings. There's many ways.
That's amazing, Peter. I've practiced Kriya Yoga since 1999. And so it's a very powerful meditation technique that we can use to go bridge the gap between the material and the spiritual, and go into self-realization. So that's amazing, your story. You know, one of the things you do, and I love this about you, is you're grounded in compassion, and you teach people how to ground in compassion to be able to find the courage to think differently and do things differently. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The Buddhist tradition is perhaps the most well known. Of course, in Christianity, there's the teachings of love, and they come up in every tradition. But compassion is emphasized, especially in the Buddhist tradition, as a necessity on the path to enlightenment. That there really is no other way other than with that grounding in compassion. And My understanding is that there are certain things that we can really try to do through discipline, through wanting it. But there are influences from the what in traditional terminology would be our karma, what we're carrying from the past. In modern terminology, we could call it our conditioning. And we carry it in our bodies. We carry it as the way that we are wired, our nervous system, our hormonal configurations. And these change from moment to moment. So when we are able to relax, when we're able to feel grounded and connected, there are certain things, the virtues that all the spiritual traditions have talked about, they start to become accessible and natural expressions of that groundedness, that connectedness. And so the compassion is both something that we cultivate and something that is also a starting point. It's where you move from.
Well, you know, I compassion is...
Greg and his approach also.
Compassion is a very, very... difficult practice in my book. I mean, when somebody comes at me and they're saying something mean or they're pushing my buttons, for me to respond with compassion, I just want to shoot them, right? So it's, you know, it's been a lifelong work for me to work on that. How do you teach people to get, you know, to not react, to not be able to, attack back when they're feeling attacked? I think that's a good question.
Yeah. For me, instead of making it into a system like, there are things like count to 10, this kind of thing, what I find is helpful is to do a daily practice that sets you up to be able to respond differently, to relate differently, to feel differently, to come from a different place, you could say. Because we carry tension. We carry a tendency towards being defensive, defending our territory. And so if we practice ways of grounding in a way that really we feel supported. We feel supported by Earth. We feel supported by the connectedness with life. And we start to feel a trust in life. This new relationship to life itself starts to give us a different space, let's say, from which we can interact. And it gives us a distance. It gives us that distance that we need in those moments of tension that could lead to confrontation. There is just the availability just is there through coming back to practices that many traditions have. I've developed a 10-minute practice when I was on your in the summit with you back a couple of months ago. I shortened it to 3 minutes, but normally it's a 10-minute practice that I give, which really brings us into the heart and provides, when done regularly, it really helps to hold you in space.
I get it. Well, listen, Peter, I got to take a break here in a second. But before I take a break, I want people to know how to connect with you. So how do they get a hold of you?
Well, on my website, which is tantramentoring.com, there are forms you can fill in when you contact me. I ask you for a few details so I know what your needs are, and you can even set up a short consultation there with me. And so
okay.
That's
well, listen, when I get back, okay, great. When I get back, we're going to take a little deeper dive with you into uncovering the lost art of being able to actually get what you want when you want it. We'll be right back.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, everybody, this is an amazing show. We're taking a little deep dive into the minds of some of the meditation teachers of our time that'll helping you to go really within yourself and understand how to reduce stress anxiety, worry, pain, fear, and all those negative emotions that you're like, I'm kind of done with those. How would you like to have a life where those emotions pass through you in about 90 seconds and you move on? That's possible for any of you. I hope you keep tuning into our show. Speaking of that, if you're enjoying the stories of courage and insights on the Voices of Courage, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you don't miss any of our shows. I also want to give a shout out to UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, Podopolis, E360 TV, Flix TV, Binge TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All of these networks that we're on are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and become the best version of yourself. So I hope you'll check them out. I went kind of fast with that, but not modern day technology. You can stop, pause, go back, listen, and go connect with them. I encourage you to do that. All righty. My guest today is Peter Littlejohn Cook. He is the spiritual pirate of our time, is what they've nicknamed him. And Peter is opening, he's learned how to open the doors to success and help people to do that. Peter, in my words, it would be, how do you get people to get what they want when they want? Maybe in your words, it would be how to follow and uncover their dreams. How do they do this?
You know, this really connects with your theme of courage, because we are predisposed to go in the direction everyone else is going. And when we're young, we may have a connection with our dreams, a sense of wonder, of great creative potential. And then we tend to shut a lot of that down to the point where we don't even remember ourselves what it is we're passionate about. And so coming to a place of self-confidence that can be as simple as let's say coming to stillness, coming to a place of connectedness with stillness. And from there, it's as if what was already there can come to the surface again, can be born again. And so it's not only knowing what it is that's there beneath the surface, but also finding the grace, the fluidity, where you can actually respond to inspiration. And not just have it there as a frustration, not have it there only as something that you wish you could do. And so again, meditation, but not just meditation for stilling the mind and moving into, let's say, transcendental disconnection, but instead coming into an embodied sense of connection with the creative energy that is wanting to come through you as a unique expression of, let's say, divine potential. And so we won't really feel peace and fulfillment until we are giving space in ourselves, giving space in our life, giving space through our life forces to this creative energy.
Well, I really like that. And, you know, Albert Einstein once said, all I want to know are the thoughts of God, the rest are details. And he understood how to tap into the field that we're talking about. It's called by many names, but what we're talking about is tuning into that field. And I like what you said. It's not about going into a transcendental state of higher consciousness without it being actually grounded back into your being, so that you can actually make the changes that you need to change or bring into what you need in your life. Everything comes up from that field for me, and I bet it does for you. But it once it's here, then it takes courage in my book to go out there, and you get some messages. You go, okay, I'm supposed to go out and contact a friend from the past that I haven't seen in a while, right? So, you know, where do you find the courage and teach people how to find that courage to, once they get these, you know, connection of what they're supposed to do next, to go out and go do it? I think a lot of people have a disconnect with that. They're in their head. They're not in their head, in head, heart, mind, body, soul, spirit, right?
Yeah. I think for most of us, the biggest challenge is our own minds. It's not the external world, it's the obstacles that we are inventing and that they create a feeling of impossibility, a feeling of stuckness. And so if we're able to, let's say, tame that beast that is the mind, then we're able to, rather than the courage being a kind of courage to battle, it's more like a, you go from battling through life into experiencing grace, experiencing a fluidity. And of course, sometimes it does, there is resistance, and sometimes that courage is fundamental. And again, it can present itself rather than being something that requires. And also here, there's a shift from how we are brought up into thinking that the mind is going to be the one that's the intelligent one that has to figure everything out, and that leads to so much overwhelm. And so, part of this force of courage comes from a greater intelligence than the mind. You could call it more holistic intelligence, and some might call it God. But I'm even saying, we can access this in our own bodies. We access this in the life force, let's say, as we relate consciously to the breath. So there is everything works with us. We access all our resources, and that gives tremendous courage. Not feeling like you're on your own trying to figure everything out.
I really like that a lot, and I think that's the key. Again, Peter, I'm not sure that I think we kind of broke up a little bit when you gave your web information last time. So why don't you go ahead and give that again?
Yeah, it's tantramentoring.com. Tantramentoring.com.
Cool. And, question. I want another quick question. Tantra mentoring. So Tantra, I don't have time to go deep in it with you, but just a real quick overview of Tantra, the way that you teach it.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I go through is the main objective, because there's a contrast between the glamorous picture of Tantra that there is today and the real purpose of Tantra. It's self-realization, it's liberation. And it's not just liberation from some of our fears, some of our inhibitions. It's not just liberation in the direction of greater intimacy or sexual pleasure, which is the context, that glamorous context it tends to be given in. It's liberation by discovering the source of your being. And that depth of self-knowledge is profoundly liberating and connects with what we were saying about courage, being in connection with all your resources, and provides the possibility of a ground of contentment that otherwise we're just seeking endlessly from one fascination to another. But I can share with you an acronym which can also help here, just to give you a sense of the qualities that you can connect with. If you use word tantric and then use a little acronym here. So I mentioned trust in life. So the first T, trust. And you can't force trust, but you can create a state in which trust is there, in which there is a sense of security and a sense of being connected with a greater power, let's say. And then the A, aliveness. When you connect to the aliveness in you, you revitalize. You don't go through each day, year by year, getting more and more drained. Instead, you're revitalizing. The N, newness. One thing we have and that we might want to recover is our innocence, our curiosity, a relationship to life that is really, again, it's kind of an aliveness. It's the being able to look at everything with a beginner's mind. So I'll go through this quickly. And then another T. T for time or training, because you need to come back and come back to the centeredness. It's not enough to just have one experience and, let's say, have a spiritual awakening. You come back and you bathe in the state of grace. You come back to it and you reprogram in a way just by bathing in that. The R, restfulness. That in restfulness, you can really allow your body to recalibrate. You let go of what the traditions would call karma, you can call it conditioning, but you're through restfulness. The intelligence of the body is recovering. And then I, integration. You need to let go of the past, again, not by effort, by having to cut things necessarily, but sometimes it's a matter of being able to integrate what you've lived, and then it moves through and is no longer holding you back. And then the last
that was beautiful. Yeah, that was really beautiful, Peter. I really got that. I hope our listeners really got that. I got to move on to my next little segment here. You're going to stay on for that segment because I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you a question. And I just want to thank you for being here on the show. You know, hope you come back again. It was really good work with you here today. So thank you so much, Peter. All right. I'm going to come right back in just a second. I see we are back with all of my guests here, and we've got the last segment here, which I always like to ask my guests a final question to help them to really give their message out to the world, to you, my listening audience. This has become a favorite segment for a lot of you that are listening, so I'm going to dive right into it. I'm going to start with Dr. Greg Hammer. And Dr. Hammer, first question I'd like to ask you is, what is your message to the world right now?
I really have to say, Ken, that my message is be grateful for all the blessings that we have. No matter how bad things are, they could be much worse. I've got no use of my right arm after I had shoulder surgery. The good news is my left one works great. We talked about acceptance, accept the pain and suffering that we cannot change. And as your message would indicate, go after the things that we can change for the positive. Live your life with intention. We can rewire the way our minds work in very simple ways, baby steps, but a daily practice. Rewire our brains to be present rather than stuck in the past and future, and positive rather than negative. And finally, be non-judgmental. You talked about compassion. I'm happy that Fred Luskin co-wrote the chapter in my book on compassion. I would start with non-judgment. If you just simply drop the judgment of that person on the other end of your momentarily aggravating experience, and don't judge them as good or bad. Don't judge them as aggressive or passive or what have you. See them for what they are, just in the best sense. And then we
perfect,
can see.
Right. I got to cut you off. I've got 30 seconds for Peter to respond. But thank you. Thank you for that. Peter, you got 30 seconds. Go. What is your message to the world right now, Peter?
Is it my turn to speak?
It's your turn to speak. What is your message to the world right now, Peter?
And you're both quiet, so I'm assuming maybe there was a question to me. Was it what's my message?
To the world.
So we tend to look for love outside of us, and it's an endless search. It's an endless search. So if we're able to, as Greg said, if we can find gratitude and we can find compassion, and through that also be of service to others, that will take us out of our search for fulfillment, and we'll find that fulfillment and be able to live in fulfillment. It's a really powerful key.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, my beautiful, amazing guests. You guys did a great job today. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into the show today. If you would like to subscribe to our YouTube channel, you will get all of our shows all the time. So I encourage you to do that. We're also, of course, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and every other social media. Also, for those of you that are on Clubhouse right now, I will be doing a show on Clubhouse, Voices of Courage show today at 2 p.m. on Clubhouse. So if you're on Clubhouse, that would be great. And if you're not on Clubhouse, I encourage you to get on it. It's a place where we're all connecting in different ways of social media. I'm always interested in what you have to say. So if you have an interest in contacting me and giving me some show topics or some questions or ideas, just email us at viewer, V-I-E-W-E-R, at voicesofcourage.us. I hope you'll do that. And until next time, I encourage you to continue to look for and find the courage to see the unseeable, to know the unknowable, and to do the impossible.